The how is up to God. All we have to believe and have faith for is the what. And I had not realized. And then going back to like your faith is fed from like looking back. Like when you look at your faith today, it should be fed from what you've seen God do in the past. It can't be fed from the future because that's what you're believing for. But when you want to increase or grow your faith. So I realized I was living in a moment in a space of lack because I wasn't looking back and realizing that God had already done what he said he was going to do. And I'm only beginning. So what is he going to do from here on out? Like, I'm like, okay, I'm excited. Like, what you got for me? Like, let's believe for more. Let's do more. But it wasn't until I realized that the how looked different.
You just heard a portion of the passion and powerful advice that I got to enjoy when I spoke with Melissa Vargas. She is a brand strategist, a content strategist, a copywriter, and a producer, an Emmy award-winning producer, by the way, who has really lived out the life of figuring out how to step forward when God was pushing her to give her all in a certain area and how to pivot and figure out what's next for you and your business and your brand as a creative. She is the perfect person to jump into the God and Gigs show. I'll tell you how we connected later on, but you're going to be blessed by this conversation. Melissa has so many wisdom bombs to drop when it comes to how to navigate faith, creativity, business, and marketing all in one episode. You're going to enjoy this. So buckle up, keep listening. Here we go.
Artists, musicians, and creatives of all kinds, looking for help balancing your passion to create with your everyday life? Not sure if your faith can coexist with your profession? Welcome to a place where real artists discuss real life. You're listening to The God and Gig Show. Visit godandgigs.com for show notes, links, and more information.
Hello and welcome to the show. Thank you so much for making this podcast a part of your creative day. If you're new to The God and Gigs Show, thank you for giving us a chance. Let me introduce myself. My name is Alan C. Paul. I'm a musician, creative coach, and author, and I help you to build better lives creatively from the inside out by applying timeless spiritual principles to the temporary creative problems you might be facing. You're among friends, you're around creatives, musicians, artists of all kinds who want to connect their faith with their creativity and do so in a practical manner that always comes back to being excellent in everything we do, whether it's in our faith, our career, or our relationships and our families. We put the right things first. So I thank you for listening and I hope you will subscribe. If you haven't already, tap that button on your app. And for those of you who have listened to the show even a couple of times, leave a review because it makes a huge difference in our visibility and helps us to connect with more creatives like you so they can be blessed by the same information you're about to get. Because this podcast, I am so excited for this conversation. Let me tell you a little of the backstory as I introduce Melissa Vargas to you. She was just somebody that I was so shocked that I did not already know. We are from the same area. We are both here in South Florida. When we started hearing each other talk on our app Clubhouse, by the way, if you are on Clubhouse, which I hear as I'm recording, maybe available for Android. So maybe all you Android people who have been saying, what's Clubhouse and why can't we get on it? iPhone has had a lockdown on Clubhouse for a while, but I'm hearing that it will be opened up. So everybody who is on Clubhouse, please look up the God and Gigs Clubhouse. We do have a Clubhouse there now, which we're accepting members. So check that out. But basically, Melissa and I were hanging out on Clubhouse. We ran into each other. She came into one of my rooms. Those of you who are on Clubhouse will know what that is. She came into one of my rooms, and when she started speaking, I was just like, you should have been on the podcast ages ago. You are speaking my language. You know everything that we are all about in the way you're presenting this information. And I just told her right away, you're one of the first people I've ever wanted on the podcast, really sight unseen, because our spirits immediately connected. And you're going to hear that same connection in this episode, in this interview. Melissa is going to tell you this fascinating story of how God led her through the different areas of her creative life, from a possibility of being a journalist to being an Emmy award-winning producer to then, I will let her tell the story, facing a devastating obstacle, which then forced her to pivot again. She is really wonderful at telling the story of how to follow God's voice, how to follow your intuition, how to follow where to go next, and how to have the most impact both in your life and in your creative brand. And all of those are wound up in her story. So I'm not going to try to tell it for her. I'm going to let her tell it. This conversation just entered so many deep waters that I just want you to kind of soak it all in and then make sure that you take some notes that can apply to your life. If you've been feeling stuck, if you've been wondering which way to go next, if you're wondering if the whole God and art connection is just kind of like a fantasy world that doesn't apply to your real life, well, Melissa's going to help you see differently that the choices you make in your faith, the choices you make in terms of where to move next, have everything to do with the impact you're going to have on the rest of the world and on the people that you are closest to. Okay, so let's jump right in. I cannot wait for you to hear this. Here is strategist, social media expert, and producer Melissa Vargas. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so pumped to talk to this incredible professional, creative, journalist, brand strategist, everything she does. And I'll just give you a little bit. I like to bring my guest in, Melissa, with this little bit of a, you know, left field kind of thing, just to tell you how I found you. And you know this, but the listeners don't know this. There's this app called Clubhouse, and it's very good for lurking. So if you don't want to just, you know, if you don't want to be seen, but you want to hang out in the audience, Clubhouse people know what I'm talking about. You hang down the bottom, you don't say anything. And you just kind of like find people and you follow their profiles. Well, I decided to jump out and start doing rooms. And I created my room called God and Gigs Room. And this one person would also seem to be lurking at the bottom, but I was like, you know what? She might have something to say. So I pulled her up on the stage and she just dropped a wisdom bombshell all over us in terms of faith, creativity. I can't remember what you said, Melissa, but it was literally like you just spoke right to my heart. So that meant to me you had to be on the show. So Melissa Vargas, with that introduction, welcome to the God and Gig Show. How are you?
Thank you so much. I am so honored to be here. I had been following you guys on Instagram for a little bit. I was doing some of the lurking too, I have to confess.
So. I thought so.
And so I just had to jump in that room and, you know, we're going to get into it, but creatives and artists have been in my heart for a very long time. You will talk about how I'm an artist as well, but they've been on my heart and God has given me that conviction about them. So when I saw that room, I was like, I just have to be there. I just want to know what's happening. And so being able to be there last week was a true great gift. So thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm grateful for it because it brought us together again. And I think we can talk about media. Obviously, all these topics are going to come into play. Me being a musician, now having to deal with all things creative, basically you have to invent your own media company as anything these days. As an entrepreneur these days, you have to become all things to all people and reach people. And that is your gifting. You are a professional when it comes to brands, a professional when it comes to media. You produce a radio show. So you've done all this, but let me quickly let the listeners meet you for the first time. Tell them, you know, the 30-second elevator pitch, you know, with the business card and everything, sure. What you do and why you can provide some value to them.
Perfect. So in essence, I'm a branded content strategist who focuses on the mindset part of a strategy. I bring clarity and confidence around your brand and your content to then be able to create a plan of action that helps the creative or the artist. On the flip side of that, I am also an artist in the writing realm. I am a creative writer, blogger. I've had radio shows. I come from the journalism world by trade. And I'm also a podcaster and other things, but I am creative as well as, like you said, a professional.
That's awesome. And see, you threw all that in one big bag. And that's why I love us. We were just talking about this. People like us that I don't think you can label one thing that you do. I mean, you had to do it, obviously, but you named writer, journalist, you named artist, you named brand strategist. So all these things are still wrapped up in Melissa, right? Like, so.
Right.
So let me ask you this, but going back to the very beginning, what was the first thing, if there had to be one that you picked, what was the first creative thing that started to pull you as either a child or a young person or whatever? What was the first thing that started to pull you toward the creative lifestyle at all?
It was writing. So I remember around 11 or 12 was when I had my first boyfriend. I was in New York. It's very, very, very young. I know. I don't know what I'm going to do when I have children. Like, I think my heart will break. But you know, you're going through your emotions. And at that time, there are no, like, mind you, I look young, but I remember when I got my first beeper. I remember when I had my first cell phone. So, you know.
Come on, beeper. Now you got me with beeper. I wasn't expecting right. beeper. Okay.
No, for real. It was a beeper. So back then when I had that first boyfriend and I had my friends, we would still write letters to each other. So in that moment of writing the letters to someone and then writing your own feelings, definitely writing on words were my first outlet to kind of like discover my creativity.
Got it. Now, my question to you then is, since it was writing, what was the progress that it took you? What was the path? I shouldn't say progress, the path it took you on? Because you know how, like, you know, when you first start writing things, it might be, yeah. like you said, personal notes, but then you see, I don't know, you read a certain novel or you see someone, a journalist, mm. or you start, and that person becomes the inspiration. Oh, I could do this professionally. So what was the next step? What was the thing that said, wow, this is not just something for fun. This is something I want to do. Like, what was the inspiration?
I have the book. I follow the author, and I still remember it was The House on Mango Street by Sandra Cisneros. I was in sixth grade, and it was my literature English class. And we had to write, we had to read the book, and the book is full of vignettes, which are 100 or less word stories, just right. to give context. And then we had to write a poem ourselves. And I remember my poem was about a monster or a robot, one of the two, but it was an item. And it got picked to be part of a book full of poems from my classmates. And actually, I was in New York at the time. That's where originally I'm from. And we got to go to Manhattan and read from our book. And I did not know, and we can get deeper into that, I did not know how significant that was for the rest of my career and evolution. But that was the moment that marked me. And I will tell you that one day I'm going to interview this woman. It's not going to be long. I am set on it.
All right. Yeah. Put it in the atmosphere. Put it in the atmosphere.
Yep. So yeah, that was the moment. That's where it started. But going from creative writer to journalism was a big, long journey. But I remember being in the 10th, 11th grade, and I thought I was going to be an industrial engineer because that's wow. where that's the profession of many people in my family. Up until the 7th or 8th grade, I was really good at math and science. I kind of feel like this weird, like God was moving me in ways, because at one point I was very nerdy in math and science. Like I was good. Not being overly confident. I'm not like pumping myself up. Like I was good. And I was in yeah. New York. My state tests were good. The percentages were good. I got scholarships to things. Something happened between all the moves in my life where words came back into my life, and then math and science kind of flipped to the back. And I started going through like different careers that I could take. And I remember I got into a journalism class just out of boredom in 11th grade, because high school was interesting for me. And I remember I had a moment with a prophet where I started thinking journalism, and he said, yeah, that's what God wants you to do. And I will give you this glimpse. He said, I don't remember a lot about the prophecy, but he said, he's going to use you in radio. He's going to use you in newspapers. He's going to use you in magazines, and he's going to use you in TV. Those are the four things that I remember. I don't remember a lot more.
But those are still very specific. Like, you want to talk about prophecy. Day,
yes, but I will. This is even freakier for me because I'm only 35. So for me, I still have a world ahead of me, and there's so much that I want to accomplish. But the other day, it's been 11 years since I graduated college, by the way. So imagine. So it was a prophecy, then all of college, then now it's been 11 years. I remember the other day I sat down and I was kind of going through my history a little bit, my professional history. And I was like, I've been in a newspaper. I've been featured in a newspaper. I've been featured in a magazine that happened last year. I had my radio show for 2 years. And 2 years ago now I was featured on TV. Not the way I thought it would happen when I graduated college.
Yeah.
But that certainly happened. That stopped me in my tracks. One, because it showed me the importance of having flexibility of the how of God. God gives you the what, but the how is up to him. And a lot of people, if I can speak to the creatives now, I hurt for them because they're stuck on the how. This is the music I got to make. This is the stuff I got to write. This is what I got to promote on social media. This is who I need to talk to. This is how I'm going to make it. And I remember Jerry Lorenzo actually spoke about this in an interview. I forgot with who. I might come back with that. But the how is up to God. All we have to believe and have faith for is the what. And I had not realized. And then going back to like your faith is fed from like looking back. Like when you look at your faith today, it should be fed from what you've seen God do in the past. It can't be fed from the future because that's what you're believing for. But when you want to increase or grow your faith. So I realized I was living in a moment in a space of lack because I wasn't looking back and realizing that God had already done what he said he was going to do. And I'm only beginning. So what is he going to do from here on out? Like, I'm like, okay, I'm excited. Like, what you got for me? Like, let's believe for more. Let's do more. But it wasn't until I realized that the how looked different.
Wow. And that's so powerful. It's so powerful. But I want to jump back because you just said it, looking back. What was the thing? Because you mentioned the prophet. I want to ask you a little bit about your, you know, about how you grew in your faith, how you came to be a Christian. And then how did that, what were you thinking it was going to be? Because you just said it, like you have a certain vision of way your life is going to go. And God, you know, God laughs at our plans and then directs us in a way, you know, God orders our steps. So where was that first moment when you started to connect faith with your life, whether it was, you know, when you first met Jesus or whether it was just, you know, what was your experience there? And then I guess the follow-up is, what did you think your life was going to look like? I mean, maybe you had some dreams that you thought God was going to
My give dreams you. Were completely different, but we'll get into that for sure.
Yeah.
So what I think it's important to learn about my story, especially growing up, is that I was born in New York. My parents are from Colombia.
Okay.
So there was a lot of moving back and forth between New York and Colombia up until the age of 16 when I landed in Miami, and I've been here ever since. I met God the first time, or I was introduced to Jesus the first time when I was 13 in New York. I had just broken up with that same boyfriend about the letters, just broken up with him. I thought my heart, like at 12, how do you take that?
Pivotal moment.
Yeah. And so I remember my friend knew I was hurting, and she was like, hey, you know, I go to church, like, you know, Jesus loves you, all these things. And I remember at 13 years old, just opening my heart to God. And this church, like, we had rappers and dancers and breakdancers, like very New York. And we were youth. So I remember, I still have my study Bible from when I was 13, like all highlighted. And we would go and do rap battles, but it's like Christian rappers with like non-Christians. So they wouldn't curse and like they'll show Jesus, and the others will be like, ooh, okay. Like it was the best time ever. But something happened in my family and I had to move back to Colombia. And I love my culture, but I hurt for the Latinos, and I hurt for the Latinos artists specifically. And it was a very tough time to be Christian because I come from super, not liberal, but super free environment where like you are who you are in God, and God loves you how you are, and you can be creative and express yourself. And then over there is very like stoic and structured, and you dress this way and you speak this way. And I don't conform to that at all at the age of 15, which is a crucial age. And so that marked me. Get to Miami. Within a month, I meet a friend in the bus. She invites me to church, and kind of like the rest is history. There's been a lot of growth and experiences there, but that was kind of like the evolution there. So that was that. When it comes to the vision of what I thought that would look like for me professionally, for to have those prophecies fulfilled, I truly thought that I was going to graduate and eventually get into a newsroom and be a news reporter or an anchor. Like I saw myself in front of the camera, but never like this. You know, I was going to be a news anchor. And one of the things that you learn in journalism that I was just saying in my stories is it's not about you. It's not about your story. It's not about, like, as a journalist, when we are taught journalism, the ethics and the morals is that is about the story. Your opinions, your views, your religion, nothing of that matters. So I was prepared to do that and work that way. I have never entered a newsroom as an employee. I have not worked traditionally as a journalist. None of it. And what's even more interesting is that I go from my story doesn't matter, which is now my story is the center point of my career, my brand, my content, and everything that I am. So it is berserk. I find it so interesting how God did it. But I thought that I was be employed in any of these companies. I would be working for a newspaper. I'd be working for a magazine. I'd be working for a radio station. I'd be working for a TV station. I never thought that it would show up as a guest or as a host or as a contributor, however it had seemed. Like, I didn't know that world. I come from traditional journalism. I also will say this one last thing. I remember in the moment when I was studying journalism, like I was set. I felt so privileged that my ministry and my mission and my career were intertwined, that I didn't have a duality in me, that it was it was confirmed.
Okay.
But I remember my professor literally telling me, like, are you sure you want to study journalism? Like, I can see that English is tough for you. Like, I can see that English is your second language. Like you're struggling with certain things. Are you sure journalism is for you? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, okay, cool. Like, what else is he going to say? And he's somebody that I admire. But I remember having that struggle of like people telling me, like, your writing isn't the best. Like, are you sure this is the path you want to follow? Looking back, when I now put content out there on Instagram, the first thing that people are like, I love your writing. I love how you write. And it's like, it's such a contrast. And so going back to the person that might be hearing this, is like, this is where conviction and perseverance and being willing to look like a fool and being willing to look stubborn for what God has given you is important. What would have happened if I would have given up on journalism back then?
Yes, but that's where I wanted to put a pin. When you said that, when those people were coming to you with those well-intentioned comments, right?
Right.
And the thing that comes to me is, Joseph and his coat and it's the favor of God on them. And his brothers are like, this dream you have. We're not with that. We're basically going to eventually like try to get rid of you. But did you feel, what did that do to your faith, did you have a moment of, well, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I am a little unsure.
I mean, part of it was that I kind of felt like I was going to be in Spanish journalism and not in English. So I kind of didn't take it 100% serious because I was like, all right, I struggle with my English, but I mean, let's battle it out in Spanish. And then that's another story. but I definitely had my struggles. I definitely had a moment where I was like, I struggle with God. I was like, I'm doing this for you, but this feels very tough and I mean, there's a whole bunch of other reasons why that too, but there were times where I doubted it. And then to come out of school and not be able to enter the workforce within journalism I lived years where I struggled and I was insecure about what I actually knew and what I was actually able to provide people, because I the evidence, the quote unquote, evidence wasn't there. I wasn't
the evidence in the newsroom. The evidence of success or the evidence of that you were following your calling. You mean like those traditional things that, you know, and I guess for journalists, it'd be like you said, the employment, the typical ladder of employment to this, to that, to graduate. Yeah. So you didn't have those things to kind of, but markers of this is my career going forward. So let's put a pin there because you did eventually, as we're talking now, you did walk into that. But there had to be some moments where it's like, okay, kind of like a lot of us are now in this pandemic. It's like the now what? You know, you said that we shouldn't be trusting for the how. We need to trust God for that. And then he'll show us, you know, what's going to happen next. But in the meantime, you do have to make some strategic moves, right? You got to pay bills. You got to decide. So what was that moment like for you when you didn't see God moving in the way you thought, but now I've got to step out on faith and, well, I got to do something. I got to start creating, right? As a creative.
Yeah.
You got to start almost making your own world. Like God gave you that creative gift and you got to make your own world out of something. So what was
it
for you?
Absolutely. And I will say this, I also think it's important as creatives that we take a moment and we thank God really for the moment in time in which we live. Mm. Because one of the things that I realize now is I don't have to work for a network session to have a show.
There you go.
You have YouTube, you have a podcast, you have all these mediums. We've eliminated the middleman.
Yeah.
But think of it as a blessing. People are still fighting. Like I just have friends who aren't artists. Like I need the followers. I need the content. I need this for social media. I'm like, I just want to squeeze you and love you, but also like, all right. That's, you know, I call myself your social media big sister. Cause I have that thing. Like, I can't just tell you the plan. Like we need to work on this mindset you got. But going back to your question, I worked in a lot of different areas and this is the other thing about the how, at least in my life, I've done grant writing for companies. Okay. I've done media buying for companies. It's all marketing related. I've been in PR. I've done marketing. I've done copywriting. Let me think. I did production for Univision, but my production job, I actually worked in Univision This is the other thing I'll tell you. I worked in TV production for Univision for a year and a half. If you don't know, it is a Spanish network. The first or second Spanish network in the country. We don't know because they keep fluctuating. And they keep fighting about it. And there, I also wasn't on the floor and I was not a producer per se. I was a producer. I was a promo producer. A promo is what people know as a preview. Think of a network, think of a show that they have on Sunday and they go this Sunday and you have a VO and you have some clips and then you have a 30 second and then that jumps on, right? It's like an internal commercial.
Right.
I produced those for their sister channel and I won an Emmy and a Promax with them.
Wow. Now I was going to ask where, thank goodness you brought it up. Cause when I saw the picture of you with the Emmy and I said to myself, there's gotta be a story where that was a confirmation. And I want to, again, I love throwing all these things in that you're putting in and try like putting the pieces together because of all the skills you mentioned while you were working out things and doing the grant writing, the copywriting, all these other marketing things, which we are talking to artists right now, many of which their first words out of their mouth is, I don't know what to say on my emails. I don't know what to say on my captions. I don't know. This is not my gifting. This is not my calling.
Tell your story.
See, that's what I'm saying. I knew you were going to say that, but I was wrapping it up in your story first. Your story is all these skills brought you to that moment where you were honored on a national, international level for your ability. Where just, I don't know how many years before that, you were being told this may not be for you.
You know what? That was like, the thing that keeps coming to mind as we're talking about this is you got to be flexible and you got to allow God to surprise you. And one of the things that's been really bugging me with some of my friends, to be honest with you, is that they are their own stopping block from seeing the glory of God in their lives because they're so stuck on what they want to accomplish that they're not open for what God wants to do with them. Mm-hmm. I could have continued to fight for what I wanted and what I thought God was going to do. But I stand today on the mountain or the hill of everything that I thought was a failure, but it was God working it out for his good, not for mine. My good now is that I get to look back and be like, look at what God has done. I would have never been able to do this. I on my own would have never made it to an Emmy. And that Emmy is everything that I learned in the field and was not my schooling. And it was not the thing that I was told God was going to use me on.
Yeah. Yeah. It was your shepherd. It was your David. It was your David and the shepherd season.
Yes, absolutely. And then by the way, if anybody wants to be encouraged with this story, I get the Emmy on a Saturday. I get fired on a Tuesday. Okay,
wait,
guys.
Whoa. Okay.
Yes.
So, all right. Wait. All right. Podcast this week. Like the record stopped.
Yeah.
How in the world do you go from Emmy to... I need this whole story, journalist. Okay. Now you can't... You knew what you were doing right there. That was a huge teaser. Look, and you thought I was going to just gloss over that? No,
I want to talk about it. Yes. Okay. So at that time, it was the end of 2016 and Univision went through a massive layoff and they cut like over 250 employees in the entire company.
Wow.
They lost some of their biggest names as like presenters and anchors. Like, and there was a whole, like, it got really crazy with like the chats and online and blogs because they really fired some people that people loved. Like some of these presenters are like the people.
Yeah.
Like the big people. Names. So the people went back to every outlet and they were like, I cannot believe you fired her. I cannot believe you fired him. How dare you? Blah, blah, blah. Like it got really polemic. But for me, it was funny because I carried a lot of guilt over that for a while because I had made a mistake on something that I did on Monday and I fixed it by Tuesday morning, but I was the bottom of the barrel. I was low fruit. So when it came to firing people, we're going to cut the low fruit first. So it was another girl, an editor, and myself were the first ones to go. My boss got fired a month after that. It got restructured. The teams were made really small. So at the end of the day, I know that it wasn't my mistake that made it, but that was definitely the thing that the devil used to like keep me guilty over that moment. But you know what? there's two ways that you can look at it. I can look at it and say, wow, I got fired from this amazing company. Or I can say, wow, look at God giving me an award right before I get fired. I was going to get fired regardless. I was, do I want to get fired with an Emmy or not?
Definitely like, option. Yeah, definitely option number
there was
one.
No way, there was no way around it. Because one of the things that happens with networks is they fire a bunch of people at the end quarter, in fourth quarter, and then they hire people in first quarter of the next year. Got just it. To balance the budget. It's just a thing that they do. So, but think about it this way. People, it's that we set our eyes so much on the goal and we look at loss as like this ultimate failure. And I love because one of my friends actually just started her podcast and the name is But First She Failed. And it's all about failure and how you learn from it. And I love it because it's like we look at failure as an equate, like how it equates to our identity. And failure is nothing but a lesson. Yeah. So I was going to get fired regardless. Would I rather get fired with an Emmy or without an Emmy? I think I'll take the Emmy. Like that's still a blessing. But and I think that for me, the lesson behind that was life is made up of moments, highs and lows, and they all have a start and they all have an end.
Absolutely. There's a time for everything, right? There's a time for everything. And knowing that perspective is so key to how you move into the next season. Because if you move out of the last season with resentment, which you could have, you could have been resentful. Like, look, how can you fire me? I just got this company, you know, the best, you know, the best kind of
look.
It was
the first one in the department, by the way.
Yeah.
It was the first one in the department. There were three nominations. Only one team got it.
And
come on. And I'm in it.
And you're in it. So this is my question to you now, because I have two things that popped into my head even as we're going through this. And I love the fact that, again, I feel like we're hitting all these notes that creatives all over the spectrum, whether it be, you know, music, arts, dance, film, anything. This covers everybody. Everybody deals with this. But I want to specifically hone in on the fact that you were fired from a corporate position. This was a corporate position. This was something where you did have some protection, I guess, I know benefits, whatever you want to call it. And now I'm wondering, at this moment, did you start to think about being your own boss? At what point did you start to say, wait a minute, I need to have my own control?
We'll get back to our talk with Melissa in just one moment. But before I do, I wanted to share some resources that will help you to keep control of your creative life. However, there's so many great resources and tools, whether it be for social media or for money management or for starting your podcast or for making captions or editing your videos. All of these tools have helped me throughout my life as an entrepreneur to really grow my business. And I've decided the easiest way for me to share them with you is to put them all in one place, which we call our toolkit. It's at guidinggigs.com/toolkit. And I've listed all of our recommended resources to help you to build your best creative career. And some of these tools will work in your beginning stages. Some of them are more for advanced users, but no matter what, you'll find something that will solve a problem that you have as a creative professional. No matter what area you work in, you'll find something that will help you. So go to guidinggigs.com/toolkit, T-O-O-L-K-I-T. Make sure you check out that resource because I guarantee you're going to find something that's going to bless and help you grow your creative career. Now let's get back to our talk with Melissa Vargas.
At this moment, did you start to think about being your own boss? At what point did you start to say, wait a minute, I need to have my own control?
Yes. I literally walked out of Univision, got home. They were like, we can pack your stuff and send it to you. I'm like, no, I'll pack myself. I'm taking my stuff. Goodbye. And it was, I will say a funny thing, which is we had started creating the Breakfast Club. And so I had all the cereals literally in my office. Okay. So I had to like text somebody and be like, I'm leaving the cereals for you guys. I'm not taking it home. Y'all have breakfast without me. And I got home and I remember calling a friend who I consider a mentor, somebody I admire, somebody has been in the industry way longer than I. And she was like, okay, you got fired. She's sending me like positions right then and there. I got like 8 different openings within 5 minutes into my text messages. And I said, hold on. I don't know why, but I think this is a time that I need to give myself the opportunity to open up my own company. This gets really interesting. And so it was a Tuesday and I said, I'm going to give myself until Monday. And if by Monday, I don't have a set idea of what's happening, I'm going to go apply to these positions. But I think first I need to do this. Now, here's the other thing, and I think something that's coming to mind as I'm sharing my story. the importance of flexibility and the importance of allowing God to lead and surprise you is crucial. Because again, many times you're holding on to the dream so tight that you're not even allowing God to surprise you and marvel you and show you that that God does more than we can dream or imagine. Yeah. That means that our imagination is always limited to but what we cannot do and we often do is that we limit God to what we can imagine, what the word says, a complete complete opposite. Yes, you can dream. Yes, you can imagine. Yes, you are creative, but you are limited by your humanity and you better be careful to not limit God by your humanity. What happened to me was that was Tuesday. On Saturday, my mom has an absence seizure. She had brain surgery, massive, life-changing. Saturday happens. We end up in the hospital that weekend. And I said, I cannot be in a job. I don't know where money's going to come from. I don't know how I'm going to open up this company. I don't know how I'm going to do financially. I was still at home. I am still at home. Partly because of that, because I'm a caretaker in some way, more emotionally than physical. She's physically very well, thank God.
That's good.
But we were going through another hard season with her and I could not afford to be in an office for 8 hours. And so I took some part-time jobs in the radio station. By the way, that around that time that I got fired was when the radio show was happening.
Oh, okay. So when you said you were moving in at the specific time that they were starting production on this, or how's that working?
Yeah, so I had gotten the okay. I had gotten the yes on the show the Friday or the week before I actually went to the Emmys, because it was here in Orlando. And then so that month of December, we were preparing, we were getting photos, we were doing all that stuff. So right after I got fired, right after my mom went to the hospital, in January 20th is when the show starts. So wow. It's also interesting in the timing of how God does it. It's like, yeah, I'm walking you out of something, but I'm walking you into something as well.
Yeah. So
that was kind of how the beginning of thinking about a company and working on my own started. It started out of moving out of Univision, which is, I love that you picked that up.
Oh no, I love the fact that this, I mean, I knew again pieces, but I knew the story. Again, it's so funny that you are trained to tell other people's stories. But as you said at the outset, I remember this, you said it, is that God was moving you into a place where your story would become, I mean, I say this a lot, and you mentioned even Ephesians 3:20 about how he will do exceedingly above all we can ask or think, right? So according to the power that worketh in us. That entire scripture has been like a theme scripture for me, because you said it, we cap God sometimes at the level of our imagination. And Henry Miller did this wonderful quote, a playwright, that said, God is the most daring of all because he dared to imagine everything. There's nothing beyond his imagination. And so we're just coming under this vision that is bigger than us, always bigger than us, right? And we get to play a part in it, but it's always when you step out. And I want to ask you even about the show. Number one, mention the show, because you just said a couple of times the radio show, but I know some people might not click the link. So what's the name of the show? And I know, you know. Oh,
so the show lasted 2 years. So it closed off February of 2019.
Oh, okay.
It was called A Todo Color. And so in English is In Full Color. And it was a youth show. We brought a lot of different topics. We talked about mental health. We talked about creativity. We talked about different perspectives. It was always, I feel like the theme in me is always like, let me give you a different perspective in what it is that you're thinking. So,
yeah. You
know, we talked about mental health and the Hispanic community is very conservative. So we talked about being open to medicine and mental health. We talked about femininity versus feminism. We talked about finances. I really went through the scope, and it was a weekly show every Friday night. It had 2 hours and I loved it. But I also realized that was not my audience. And so at some point I was like, I'm not serving them at my best, because one of the things that God keeps fighting with me is I made you the way you are for a reason. Like your perspective, your craziness, everything that you are is for a reason. So it's never about like, and now I'm going to get out of my own social media realm here, which is don't mold yourself for the public. Be yourself and your public, your audience will come to you, but they won't come to you. Or at least this is my lesson. They won't come to you unless your authentic self.
Yeah. Not
unless you're fully 100% and go all in. People are not like, some people will come, but like your growth and like the masses will come from your authentic self. And so that has been the personal and professional fight for me for a while.
Now, that's why I really love the fact that you said that, because this is where I think there is this crazy in this social media world, and this is what you do for a living now. You help craft these messages, right? Let me correct me if I go
yeah,
off.
Yeah, no, you're good.
So you help craft these messages. You help craft, I hate to say the public image because it sounds weird to say it, but yeah,
no, but
it is an image. It is a how we show up for other people, right? Whether you're a company or a person, you're showing up for other people. I love there's a scripture that says that, you know, the Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. So like we're publishing ourselves and our gifting. Again, no matter what you are doing it right now, if you're listening, you know, you might be a musician, but you're still publishing. You're publishing your work. You're publishing your music.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a dancer, you're publishing by showing up, you know, so you're always giving out and presenting an image, right? So my question to you is exactly what you just said. Is it the social media world that makes us feel like we need to be something else? Because we see the list of do this, do reels, do TikTok, show this, show that, wear this. This is the right color. This color makes you sell this. This color makes you sell that. And so many rules and guidelines on how you should show up versus what you just said, which is be authentic. Is there a struggle for all of us?
I think there's a struggle because what I said in the room. So I'm gonna remind you what I said in the room.
I need to hear it again for sure.
Right. We were in the sales and I can remember because the quote that I spoke about is here in my wall. I had a friend a few years ago give me this quote. So the room was, why are you afraid of selling or sales?
Yes, that's what we talk about on Clubhouse, exactly.
Right. So I said, it's a twofold for me. One is identity, the other one's perception. In the identity, I go back to the quote that my friend gave me, which irks me, but it's so true. He says, you are the image and likeness of God. Act like it. Now, I'm going to say something I didn't say in the room. The first thing that we see of God is not Lord, is not Savior, is not Father, is not ruler. The first thing we see is Creator. The first thing he does in the Bible is create. And let me tell you something, videographers and photographers, the medium that he uses is words. He uses his words to create. He does not physically create with his hands, which speaks to the power of your words. Remember, the Bible says, in your tongue is the power of life and death.
Yep.
So Creator, if you're speaking down of yourself, you are creating death over your gift in your life. That's not how we roll around here. But then let me go deeper. You are the image and likeness of God. Act like it. You are the image. It's not you were created as a past tense, like something that happened in the past, but somehow it changed now in the present.
Right, right.
No, no, no. You were created, therefore you are. The way God created the world still exists. Yeah, we've added things. We've evolved. But the water hasn't changed in a molecular level. The grass hasn't changed. The trees have not changed. The animals have not changed. They may have evolved, but what he created still stands. What is created in you still stands. And so what I was saying is there's an issue with identity. We have not bought into the identity of God and what he says about us. We are the ultimate gift. He gave his son for us, and we are willing to play by the rules of the world. And I'm sorry, I'm jumping in there and adding.
We're willing to
jump to the rules of the world and downgrade ourselves and diminish our value to play some game we're never meant to play. I am very big and I am very bold. And I believe that the fame was made for us because fame equals trends. And somehow Christian creatives have bought the lie that they need to follow trends. Hello, you are the trendsetter. You are the image and likeness of God. He created trends. He created the entire universe. You are meant and created to create trends, not to follow them. That was one
with a whole
bunch of added.
No, I love it. I love it. I want to ask real quick because that first one was enough for an entire book, much less a podcast.
Yeah.
Have you read the book Culture Making by Andy Crouch. That's a singer. Andy Crouch. Go find Culture Making, because what you just said specifically goes right to what he says in that book, which is basically the reason why we're having so many struggles with the culture wars and why don't we have good writing or bad writing? Why there's so many, you know, evil things in terms of creating where people create things. And we're not saying, by the way, this is God and gig. So I can say very clearly, I've had so many people that basically said what you said with your upbringing. We are not saying everybody's got to have Jesus on every picture, Jesus on every song.
You don't see me wearing t-shirts with Jesus. And sorry for the ones that do have that apparel line. I don't buy into that because I know that perception is reality for people.
Yep.
And a lot of people are turned off over term being turned on by it.
Yeah, so you're carrying it with you. We have this treasure. We have the treasure in earthen vessels. So it's not like we have to show it off all the time. It's already in us. But the reason I went to that is because just to mention that book and a shout out to that book, because as soon as you said it, it was like, that's right. We create the culture. Culture is just us making things, and we make more amazing things in the likeness. And like you said, the image and likeness of God using his creative power, the culture has to change because we'd be Absolutely. Putting more stuff in the world that comes from his heart. Not necessarily. Yeah, go ahead.
And mixing that with the social media game, right? And how yeah. we play it. A lot of people struggle with social media because they're trying to follow somebody else's plan and thinking it works for them.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I don't know why, but social media and dating seem very similar to me, and I'm single, so I don't understand it. But it's kind of like listening to somebody else's love story and thinking that that's how it's going to happen for you.
That's a really good analogy.
And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
My love story is my love story. Your love story is your love story. Everybody's is different. And God is so creative that he can do those things. So understand that there are things that are in play for social media success, but one of them is not compromising who you are. Just point blank, not yeah. compromising who you are. Yeah. The other thing is a lot of people get frustrated because they want the plays. They want the views. They want the comments. They want the this, but the easiest thing to do is to smell the funk.
Oh,
it's so
okay.
easy. It's so easy to go into someone's page and be like, this person's not being genuine, whatever. It's so easy to be like, oh, it's so pretty pictures, but what are you giving me? Whatever. You know, when we go into social media, people have an attention span of 4 seconds. What are you going to do to take those 4 seconds and expand on them and make sure that they stay on you? A pretty picture doesn't do it. Especially now, people are void and craving connection. Yeah. If that picture, if that caption, if your content does not connect, oh, but I'm a musician, I don't know what to do. We'll get into that. There's a lot that you can do. And there's a lot that you can do that will not only get them there, but will impact lives and will make, you don't want people to listen to your music. You don't want people to watch your videos. You want raving fans that whatever you do day in and day out are there for you. And I am sorry you're a Christian creative and you're thinking that fans are not the thing that you need, but it is. Psychologically speaking, that's what you want. Okay? Spiritually, yes, God, for sure. But psychologically speaking, you want fans. Because today I might be writing a book. Tomorrow I'm launching a merch line. By the way, these are all things that are in my mind.
There you go.
You know, I already have a company. I'm going to be speaking on stages. Like, I also am in a place where I'm unapologetic about who I am. I want it all. I want to be on every stage. I want to be on every screen because when I jump in, God is with me. The Holy Spirit is with me. And that's who I'm taking. It is not about me, but I am the vehicle. So if I don't show up and I don't arrive and if I don't go there, the mission and the people that are assigned to me don't get God and don't get the Holy Spirit. So I have to be unapologetic. I have to be about this game. I have to not hustle and bustle and grind, but yeah. I do have to have the fight within to fight for what it is that God has given me. How he does it is how he does it, but the what is mine. Yeah. But it's because of the mission that I have. Now, let me go into number two.
All right. Yeah. Number two, of course, let me go back because we said so much. I want to make sure I got to make all these show notes. So first was identity, right? So we did, basically I was all based on identity, on who you are. And I love what you just said, but I'm going to piggyback on that. Some people have to rewind that. All right. So number two was perspective. Am I right?
Perception.
So
perception, how we perceive sales. We think that when we sell, we're being sleazy, we're scamming people. Like, a lot of people are like, I should just do my art and God will take care of the rest. No. The best, and that's one of the things that I said in the room, the best businessman and salesperson, you know who it is to me? Jesus. He sold kingdom day in and day out. He did miracles. He healed people. He talked to people. He explained it. He sat down with the disciples and explained it. You know what that is? That's network marketing, by the way. If you don't like it, learn it. Because guess what he did? He multiplied his knowledge into other people. He did not give them a product. Yes. He multiplied his knowledge into other people and then got them to sell. What are they selling? An ideology. They're not selling a product. They're not selling fish. They're not selling Bibles. So perception about sales. What happens? Why was he so effective as a salesperson and business person? Because he was sold out on the idea. Creative, are you sold out on your art? Because if you're not, nobody else is. You can't convince me of how talented you are if you don't believe you are. Mm-hmm. You got to sell yourself out first and then you sell the world. Wow. I got to be sold out on my writing first before I sell out on anybody. That is why My strategy is I do microblogging on social media. I am not concise. That is not the gift that God gave me. Thankful for that nowadays, because I used to be insecure, but that is my gifting. But I'm sold out on it. You can't have raving fans out of something that you don't believe yourself.
Yeah. Now I want to ask you, that's such a powerful concept, but I'm listening and I'm hearing the person that's listening right now saying, yeah, easy for you to say, Melissa, because you had either the training or the background in terms of finding that confidence to say to yourself, you know what? I have to show up for myself. What I have is valuable. They're thinking in their head, for some reason or the other, which I'm sure you can address, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not the kind of person that they almost feel like they feel guilty for believing in themselves. They feel like that's somehow being hubris or prideful. They don't have the perspective you have, which is you're showing up with what God has. So what would you say to that person that says, no, I can't do that. That feels too much like I'm focusing on myself and I don't want to focus on myself because I'm too
counterintuitive. It's countercultural.
Yes.
It's definitely countercultural.
Yeah.
First, I would say I'm with you. Like what people don't understand about me is that I've struggled with depression. I would say knowingly since 2014. And so I don't say I suffer from depression and I don't say I am depressed. And that is very intentional because I want to have the right language around it. I say I struggled and I've experienced and I have bouts. And I would even say, as I'm saying this now, I would want to remove I've struggled. I've experienced depression ever since 2014. I've been through medicine. I'm off medicine now. So first I want to say that I understand on a deep, deep level what it is to not believe in yourself and what it is to think, what it is to feel guilty about believing in yourself.
Yeah.
I also understand the comparison game. I also understand the competition game. I also understand what it is to even become cynical, thinking that lowering the bar for yourself is the way to maybe get some traction, right? I can't go that high. So let me just play at this level because maybe at this level.
Small pond. Keep playing small.
Yeah. Maybe if I'm a big fish in a small pond, maybe I'll be better. The second thing is, God already believes in you. So who are you to discredit God's creation and God's perception of you? Like,
wow.
Who are we? And so we have to understand that insecurity is an ego game. It is ego trying to protect you. And it's a good intention, right? There's good intention in it. I want to protect you from failing. I want to protect you from thinking too high and never making that, right? So the confidence, I think for me, comes from a place of openness. When we go back to not focusing on the how, it's like, I just maybe don't focus on confidence, but focus on conviction, because one thing leads to the other.
Yeah.
When I have conviction over what God has given me, the grit, like I'm not always confident. Last night I was sending a text message I was completely insecure about. I was freaking out about. I spent like, you know, at least an hour thinking like, how do I say
delete,
it right?
Delete.
But at the end of the day, right. And it was an audio. So it's like, how am I going to say it? I don't want the audio to be too long, blah, 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 like whatever. But I had conviction, and conviction leads to grit, and then grit leads to results. And those results are the ones that start building that confidence. Confidence is built when there is a residual, when there's evidence, right?
Right.
So you're not going to be confident to start moving. Like, that's just the bottom line. You're going to take a lot of steps that are going to be scary.
But it has to be consistent first. Yeah. You have to start rolling first.
It's not even consistent. You just have to be convicted. Remember, okay. I go back to Jesus because Jesus was so convinced and convicted that the kingdom of God was the answer to this world that it didn't matter what he had to go through or do, how embarrassed he's going to be, how judged he's going to be, how criticized he was going to, like, it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
Yeah. He just had conviction. And then there's another thing that I want to add to that, because I said it to a creative at the beginning, at the end of January. And it's been a theme in my life. We look at the narrow road as a story about following Jesus. But a lot of times the narrow road is following Jesus personally. It's like, I'm following my story. I'm walking my story. I'm walking my road. And there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to support me. And they're Christians. They're believers. They're people that love me. They're people that I do life with in church. But guess what? Your calling was not a conference call.
Yep.
So you got to learn to walk the narrow road. And that's where conviction comes in. And if you have conviction, and if you have grit, and if you're willing the rest will come. Confidence will eventually come, but confidence is not the thing that gets you started.
It doesn't get you started. And I love the fact that you did. I love the fact that you went back to conviction, because I was thinking in terms of that confidence comes when you mentioned it, when you see the evidence and you start to see that slowly building a stack of God moved this way. I did this. I took one step. God took two and everything. But you're right. It has to start with conviction in order to be consistent and to keep the grit. That's the word you use. And I love that, because that's another great book. You can tell I'm a book nerd. Every time you mention a thing, I think of a book. So there's a book about grit, and the name of the book is Grit. And he talks about that's what sets people apart in terms of success, not just worldly success, but any kind of success. When you stick with it, you know, I mean, even I think of again, the scripture where Jesus, for, you know, looking at the cross, forsaking everything that's behind him, he kept marching toward the prize. I got two mixed up. Philippians is for the prize that's set before us. We keep going. We press on. But Jesus also saw something that was worth pressing on for. And you just mentioned it. He had a conviction that he had this message that God had sent him to send and to preach the kingdom. And he would not deviate from that, whether it was Peter or was the devil or whoever else came in his way. He said, no, this is my work I have to do. I must work while it's day, because night comes when no man can work. Right. So he absolutely stuck with it. I love the fact that you went back to the conviction of it. We could talk all day. I can tell, like, all this. I had to start bringing him around, because we could do like a 2-hour podcast.
But I want to say something about consistency and being practical on social media, because I'm also feeling listeners are like, wait, I want some social media tips. I got you.
Yeah.
I irk with the word consistency, because I understand that not every day looks the same, and that there's a whole lot of things that go into social media, but don't worry about consistency looking like frequency.
Explain that a little bit.
Don't look at consistency as like, I'm gonna show up every day on social media and this is tiring, and I gotta edit the photo, and I gotta edit the video, and I gotta edit the caption, blah blah blah. Think of consistency as like, am I always bringing value to my audience every time I show up? So even if I show up once a week or twice a week, am I bringing value? Because I love seeing people with their like cheeky or like super smart like captions, and I'm like, okay, moving on. Like, what are you asking me to do with that? How do I connect with that?
Connect,
okay, you were cheeky, you were fun, but whatever. Or the video is an amazing video. Okay, what do I do? 30 seconds of my life, a minute and a half, moving on. Right. So think of consistency. I would say one of the things, especially for creatives and how our brain works, don't look at consistency, but look at persistence. Because happens is, I got to show up every day. You miss 2 days. Like, why do I even play with social media? Why even get in this game? Yeah, like, I already failed. I already failed. You're discouraged. You move on. So think of persistence. Think of the people that are assigned to you, and then always being able to serve them. And then whatever you provide, think of the value that you give. And we can get into the nitty gritty of that, but always think, am I bringing value? Am I changing? Maybe this sounds a little too ethereal, but am I changing someone's life? Am I making someone's life
better? No, I don't think it's too ethereal at all. And I think one of the biggest things, especially I've heard it said on another podcast like this, especially in music and arts in general, it kind of goes to this whole pandemic thing where people were like, well, who's an essential worker, right?
Right.
And then we were all like, oh, well, certain things aren't essential. But then what did we survive on? We survived on Netflix, and we survived on Hulu, and we survived on everything creative while people were locked up in their rooms. If we hadn't had those things, the mental health of this entire country would have gone down to tubes, you know. And same thing with the musicians who couldn't perform. Thank God we had the technology of live streaming and things like that. So we kept doing what we do. We were essential. Because we didn't necessarily provide, we didn't provide a service. Like you said, we didn't provide a product. But what we do provide is we provide peace of mind. We provide comfort. We provide stability. We provide laughter. We provide joy. And the arts create all these things that are literally, we cannot live without, as we found out. Again, why is everybody bursting at the seams to get back to concerts and things? Because we missed the connection that you just mentioned. So
creatives provide transformation.
Yeah.
To go from depressed to joy, to go from crying to laughing, that is transformation.
So the key I want to say, ask you is that, real quick, and I think you're about to say it. Now we got, like you said, the practical. So how does somebody say, all right, I've got a gig. This is simple. I got a gig on Saturday, or I've got a performance, or I've got a new painting, or I've got a video coming out. How would you advise that person who, again, who doesn't feel like they're a writer and they don't think they have all the copyright and marketing skills? What would you tell them so they can start thinking in terms of value and transformation when they're doing their day-to-day stuff?
Right. I can do a little bit of what my story has been. So one of the things that people have really connected with is And I'll give you an example of what I post I did. One day I was in one of actually not the worst bout of depression last year, but one of the bad ones. I had like two, and I had decided in those days that I wanted to buy colorful makeup. That's just something I wanted, like eyeshadows. I'm not big on eyeshadows when it comes to makeup. I went, I got it. And one of those days I was feeling really down. I said, I'm going to play with my makeup. Just going to put on some color because I feel so down. I need to put some color on this face. When I put my makeup on, I took a picture. I decided to show the reality of it. I took a picture of my mirror, the one that I use in this desk, the one that I used to put on my makeup. I put my makeup palette and I put the medicine, my antidepressants, right behind it. So you see all three in the picture. And I told my story of how sometimes we may be going through something and you don't see in that person's face what's really going on. And I felt it was important to show the pills. And I just went into the story, right? And so creatively, what does that have to do with anything? And a lot of people connected with it because they're like, wow, yeah. You know, people go through struggles that we don't understand, that we don't know of. And it's so easy to put your makeup on, put your face on, put your strong face on, and not show people the reality of it. So that has been something that's been transformational for me, sharing my story with depression. And then now speaking with confidence, like if you look at my content from 4 months ago and today, I'm a completely different person in how I feel and what I talk about. So, and this is the other thing that I would say on a very practical level, people do not buy products or services, they buy people. There are so many musicians out there that are good. So what makes the difference between you and the next person? And I'll also bring, I don't know, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'll bring in the example of NF, okay. The rapper. He talks a lot about his struggles with mental health. He talks about it in his music. He mentions it in social media. He's been very open with those kinds of things. And he has, I mean, from the moment I discovered him to now, his growth has been exponential, but it's because of his journey and what he talks about. So your message is your key to success. Your art has no value unless there's a story behind it. So if you have a painting, like your example, why does that painting mean to you? Why did you feel compelled to create that piece? And that not only challenges you to be more vulnerable, which is funny because it's hard for us on social media, but yet as creatives, if we're not vulnerable, we can't create art, right?
Right, right.
But it not only challenges you to be more open and honest and transparent in your social media, but it also forces you to create different art. Because if you cannot connect to the piece you're creating, a dance, a song, a painting, you really, first of all, you're doing a disservice to your art, but two, you're not going to be very successful. So a lot of people buy into what we have to do as creatives and as artists. And what God is asking us to do is like, no. Go back to your message. Go back to your story. Go back to what you're about. On a more psychological level, you have to validate your experiences to create that message and to see that message. Like if I don't validate my depression and my low moments, I have no story.
Wow. Yeah.
Because they formed me in a great way because I know how to fight them. I have seen on a spiritual level, I know the devil's after me. I know homeboy's pissed right now. And that's why I talk the way I talk. And that's why I get loud and crazy. And I have energy.
Because
I am determined that he's not winning with me. He already lost the war, but he's not winning the battle with me. Just don't.
Yeah.
You cannot. But all that to say is validate your experiences, start looking and sharing your message through your art. And then even if it's three sentences on a caption, they can be so punchy and powerful if you just allow yourself, and vulnerability wins. Vulnerability is the currency of today. Even if it has grammatical errors, even if it has spelling errors, but if your message is compelling enough, people will stop and read. So this is why I work on mindset before I work on a plan, because you have to validate who you are, your experiences, what God created in you, to then create a compelling enough story in order for your story to make sense, in order to create an effective strategy. It does not start with the strategy.
Yeah, no, you are literally like laying out the exact reason why I feel even more comfortable now, not always going for the nuts and bolts and the how, because I did the comparison thing too, Melissa. I would look at other programs, other coaches, even in Christian world, where they seem to have the 5 steps to 10K and the 10 steps to whatever. And it's like, I have my steps, but my steps are about how I kept my family together, how I got through my own bouts of depression and anxiety and still deal with those things. Those same issues that you just talked about, the inside. That's why the entire byline is this, building better lives from the inside out. That's the entire purpose behind it. And like you said, God will fill in the what's and the details. But if we don't start with knowing who we are on the inside, and like, I love that quote, vulnerability wins. Please tweet that and make sure you quote Melissa on that one. Vulnerability wins. Like that to me is so deep and so powerful. I want to make sure, because now they've heard you, they're going to want to find you and work with you. So let's do the selling right now, right? We said it's not bad to sell. So right now I want you to tell people who don't necessarily tap on the links, where they will tap on the links, I hope. But if they don't, just remind them how to find you, how they could work with you directly, whether it's, and just remind them, by the way, your company and the different services you offer, because I believe now that you've kind of laid it out, they see like what they can get from you, but they need, you know, just remind them like how you actually work with them on an individual basis.
Sure. So first I will say that the name of my company is MVR Collective, and I work on brand and content strategy. So that includes your story, your message. We're going to work through those things. We're going to tailor it. We're going to get it nice and clean. And then from there, we're going to look at what you need. That can be a website strategy, because we just had an outage of Instagram just about 2 hours ago. So right before this podcast, Instagram was all kind of flunky. So you don't want to depend on it for people to like reach you. And I'm also very passionate about that. So whether it's a website strategy, email marketing, social media strategy, how to show up on every avenue and all that stuff. That is it. And then we go into content strategy, and that gets more nitty gritty into, are you going to blog? Are you going to show up on social media? How often? What are we doing? Do you need reels? Do you need videos? Like that gets more into the specifics of that. And I always tailor it to every person, because every person is different. And I always create a strategy that works for you. I'm not going to ask you to show up every day on Instagram. If you have a full-time job, you're a parent, you have your art, and then you minister at the church, like, I know I'm setting you up for failure. So my strategy is very tailored to the artist and what they're able to do so that they maximize effort. I'm also very good at repurposing. I believe in repurposing. So that's one. That's what my company does. We work, whether it's copywriting, whatever it is, but we create the entire plan and structure and foundation for you to have a digital platform that works for you. That's the gist of it. How you can find me, for the most part, I'm on my personal account on Instagram, which is Melly, M-E-L-I, Mel, M-E-L, Vargas. And that's where you can find me. You can DM me. I do have a way to contact me on the link in bio, but I'm very good at answering my DMs, especially since Clubhouse DMs is where it's at. It's where I exist all day. I have never been as active on my DMs as I have now been on Clubhouse. I'm always on Clubhouse. Go and find me. I love to talk. Create a room with me. We'll have a chat. I am going to be creating programs. So I am in the works of creating two different courses, which one is an Instagram course.
Cool.
It's Instagram like a badass. Sorry. But that's the name of the course.
Yeah.
It's a 4-week course. And then another one that's going to be a branding course. So understanding more of the branding side. Branding is your image, your values, your attributes, your tone of voice. It's not just a logo. I'm sorry, designers, if you're hearing me, I apologize, but you all know that there's more to a logo than the colors and the fonts, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we talk about the psychology of a brand first. So that's going to be a branding course. And then the idea is that those two courses are going to kind of funnel into a membership where people can continue to get education and grow themselves. So I love teaching people. I would be more than glad to get myself out of a job. You got me, like, to fire myself and teach people how to do it. So those two courses are going to come up. And then after that, people can stay for a membership. They continue to grow.
Well, you're going to be hopefully hanging around with the Guiding Gigs membership, which I can now talk about because I'm finally putting it out there. See, again, had to get out of my own way, start ugly, get it out there. So now the Guiding Gigs 360 membership. Some people are joining my master classes, and hopefully you will hang out and show them what they can gain from you more specifically, because this is the stuff, again, you have already lived a life, your story and your message and your ability to put all those things together in a faith-focused package that God is clearly blessing is something I could never do by myself because I don't have your story, right? But my story connected to your story is how we build the kingdom, is how we build each other up. And, you know, and the Bible talks about us as a building, right? You can't be all, we can't all be one piece. We got to have these little pieces. Mm-hmm. And I love how you're going to be building your own part.
What you're saying is so crucial. So, and I will just tell you this quick story. This is the other thing. By the way, artists, stop being afraid to ask for help and reach out to people. Amen. The other day, if you know, Clubhouse has Shoot Your Shot rooms, which are the single dating rooms. And I
wouldn't know anything about that.
Right.
What are you talking about?
I see those. We see those at night and I've jumped into them. And I just got to say, they're funnier than reality TV. So I just laugh and move and go away because I just can't deal with the energy. But what I have learned is shooting my shot in business and shooting my shot in ministry and being able to reach out to people. So the other day, there's this one girl, she has a magazine, she's an illustrator, she's a poet, she's published books, she's amazing. And I was like, I like this girl, I want to talk to her. So I DM'd her and I said, I think you're awesome, can we talk? She's like, cool. We talked for 2.5 hours, we're great friends now, we're connecting each other with things left and right. She's helping me publish my Spanish book. So for the artists that think I'm all strategy, I got you. I'm also working on my own art. I'm getting out of my own way. So the book exists. We just now have to look at a cover, redesign it, and all that stuff. There's a lot more that's going to come with that collaboration. But the other thing is being open and stop thinking that your art is your only, like, it's your responsibility alone. Understand that you need your tribe, and what you can accomplish alone will never be as high and mighty as what you can accomplish alongside others. And for me, that's a real testament. So I just had to say that because
it's exactly what we're talking about right now. The community, we're building a community, and each person in the community is being built up and getting better. Melissa, this has been so amazing. We're going to have to do this more, obviously, because y'all heard it, how much she has to share, the depth and the passion she has is something that I am so glad I connected to, whether it was Clubhouse or wherever God made it happen. And this is not the last you're going to hear from you, Melissa, on this platform. So thank you again for being a part of the God and Gig Show. And like I said, hopefully we're going to do it again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm so glad this happened.
Well, my friend, if you did not leave this podcast inspired, I'm afraid that there might be something a little bit off in your spirit. I cannot listen to Melissa share without feeling this surge of go-get-it-ness. That's the only way I can describe it. Her energy is infectious. She just has the spirit of where God is leading her, she's going to follow. And she combines it with the knowledge of having been in the industry between her experiences in all these different corporations and then now being a freelancer. She is one of us. And I believe that something she shared is going to touch you and push you and prod you to make the right moves, to make the right decisions, to see how your voice can be amplified, and not just amplify your voice, but also listen closely to the voice inside, that still small voice that tells you where you need to be sharing creatively. Because if God gave you the gift, he's also going to share how you're supposed to do it. But you just got to be patient and follow the examples of people like Melissa, who had to make some hard choices, but always ended up following the voice of God as the most important influence on her life. Okay, so thank you so much, Melissa, for joining us. And you heard how to follow her and how to connect with her on all her socials. Just check the show notes for those same links. You can tap on in there and see if Melissa can help you with your creative project or whatever's going on in your life creatively. Okay, now as for God and Gigs, I continue to encourage you, go check out our masterclasses, everything that we're sharing on our blog at godandgigs.com, making sure you're following us on Instagram and Facebook, and share this episode with somebody. This is one of these shareable ones that if you just have someone who's been feeling down or has been kind of feeling stuck, this is the episode to share. And you can usually do that on just one button on your app. Just hit the share app, send it as a text, send it as an email, and let them know, hey, you're not alone. There's other people, creatives, who are faith-focused, who have a Christian background, who have a Christian worldview, and who are excelling in the workplace and finding their way by working together as a team, as a collective, as a community. Speaking of community, let me quickly also shout out our creative community on Facebook. It's a free group. It's for everybody. All you have to do is answer the entry questions and you're in. So make sure you check that out, God and Gigs Creative Community on Facebook, and you'll meet so many more creatives just like Melissa and others who are achieving their goals and looking for their dreams and supporting each other as they do. Okay, well, that's all for now for our episode. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, hope you subscribed and hope you will review the show. Until next time, continue to be the creative that you were created to be. Be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us here at the God and Gigs Show. Please leave us a review on iTunes, like our Facebook page, or visit godandgigs.com and tell us what you thought of this show. We'll be back soon. In the meantime, go create something amazing.